The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. I read for you John chapter 10, beginning with the 22nd verse. John 10:22. Listen for the word of God for you this day. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God for the people of God. The 23rd Psalm is the most beloved psalm of all 150. Unfortunately, it is associated most often with funerals. Too often, people hear it and they immediately say, "Who died?" They also too often think of the 23rd Psalm as a Christian text. It's not, of course. Oh, it's familiar to many Christians. It's known and often recited by Christians, but it's a Jewish text. It comes from the Old Testament. It's one of the Psalms. That makes it a Jewish text. Just like the news report out of Troop, Texas, a couple of days ago. Troop Independent School District had the biblical phrase, "As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him," on their website. Until the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter complaining that the website violates the Constitution by promoting Christianity. Well, the text is from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel contains the story of Goliath and a little Jewish boy. The text is from the Old Testament. So it's not promoting Christianity at all. It's promoting the power and the protection of the God of Israel. Under the Constitution, a government entity, like a school district, can't endorse any religious belief over any other, or even just religion over non-religion. But one might wonder if it were pointed out that the scripture that's referred to is a Jewish scripture, if the people marching and complaining and producing t-shirts would continue to show their anger quite as boldly. Would they continue to stand tall if they were promoting a Jewish text? Because they are. So, this morning's lectionary texts include the 23rd Psalm from the Old Testament and the Gospel of John from the New. Both of them mention sheep or shepherds. Both of them use similar imagery. We're more familiar with the 23rd Psalm, so we'll begin there, and I'll ask you this question. How might our understanding of God and the way we live with joys and sorrows change if we actually believed that God takes the initiative? In other words, if we believed and if we lived as if we believed that God is always, through all trials, all challenges, all joys, that God is always leading us toward God's self. If we believed that, so that we never got beyond the love that would never let us go, how might our understanding of God and the way that we live with joys and sorrows change? Because the 23rd Psalm assures me that I shall not want. The Lord provides safety, clean drinking water, and peace for my soul. God pulls me in so close that I have no reason to fear anything. When I sit at table, I am anointed, which happens during ordination or coronation of a king. And it concludes, the 23rd Psalm does, with a concept that in due time I will not be pursued by enemies out to harm me or steal from me or reduce me in any way. No, I will be pursued by goodness and mercy, which will follow me all the days of my life. This psalm is both present tense, future tense, and pastoral. The 23rd Psalm is a comforting, reassuring, protective message about the God who is constantly with us, for us, guiding us, and protecting us. Do I live like I believe that? Constantly? Or do I think, well, that's very sweet, but I trust in the military strength? Do I believe that only my guns will protect me and mine? Do I believe that ISIS is coming for me and I have to have armor? Because I think that's where the questioners were when they stopped Jesus in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. They asked him to clarify, to say it plainly, to not talk in riddles, but to tell them for sure whether or not he was the Messiah. And keep in mind that we don't honestly know if they were truly asking for clarification or if they were looking for a reason to find him guilty of claiming that he was the Messiah. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. The problem, of course, is that regardless of what Jesus says or does, the debate does not end. Jesus responds that he's already told them, and that the works he has done in his Father's name testify to him. But they do not believe because they do not belong to his sheep. And that makes us a little queasy. We're all considered sheep, but we're not in the right flock? Doesn't God own all the sheep? Doesn't God recognize all the sheep? Doesn't God provide and protect and guide all the sheep? Jesus indicates, no. Jesus says that his sheep recognize his voice. They follow him. They are truly in his flock of sheep. Therefore, his sheep, Jesus' sheep, the Messiah's sheep, are safe. The Messiah's sheep are protected. The Messiah's sheep don't want to be anywhere else. They want to stay with the Messiah. They don't have to, they want to. Jesus indicates to his questioners that he has already identified himself. And those who believe what he said don't need to ask again. They don't need to wonder anymore. They don't need further clarification. Jesus' actions speak for him. How he behaves and how he follows his shepherd, God, testifies to his identity. So, does my behavior and who I follow testify to who I am and whose I am? Can people tell which flock I'm a part of? Do people around me know? And does God know me? For sure, there are many voices that tell us how to grow closer to God by having a prescribed religious experience, by believing the correct doctrine, by reaching a higher level of knowledge or a higher level of morality. But the Good Shepherd tells us that everything depends on belonging to him. Never does our status before God depend on how we feel, or on being free of doubt, or on what we accomplish, not even on what we accomplish for the Good Shepherd. It depends on one thing and one thing only: that we are known by the Shepherd. Amidst all the other voices that evoke fear, make demands, or give advice, the voice of the Good Shepherd is a voice of promise, a voice that knows us well, calls us by name, and claims us as members of his flock. They came to him with a direct question: how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. This is a completely understandable request. But what they wanted to hear, what they wanted the true Messiah to provide, was an apocalyptic battle and a victory. They wanted a military win, not a reign without a sword, not to embrace Rome as a friendly nation. But the redemption of Rome was not on the Messiah's to-do list. And what about us? Do we still believe that we are kept free and made safe by great generals and vast armies and guns in the hands of everyone, everywhere? Is the Messiah accountable to our human expectations? That's what those around Jesus wanted. They wanted freedom from the invader, freedom to live without fear, foreign domination, political muscle men who always wanted every penny in taxes that they could extract and who were present every day, all the time, everywhere. Are we looking for a Jesus who will fulfill our wants, our necessities, and our dreams of what a good life would be like? Because that's not what Jesus came for. Never is that what Jesus promised, and not what God said to the psalmist. Jesus speaks to us in the voice of a shepherd. It's the voice of promise. It's a voice that promises protection and care. It's the voice of his personal flock and what they hear and who they recognize and follow. It's the voice which is especially precious in times of need. And it's the voice that we sometimes have to work even harder to hear in good times when other voices seem to drown it out. Yet even when those other voices overwhelm, even when we don't pause to listen, It's always there, inviting, comforting, sheltering, and urging us forward. So, does God know me? Well, perhaps the answer is, do I know the voice of God? Do I recognize and follow the voice of God? If I am one of the Lord's flock, then I will know his voice, and he will know me. And if I do, then I shall not want. He will anoint my head with oil. My cup will overflow, and I will live in the house of the Lord